Welcome back to RBKD. It is a Soul Train Thursday edition of RBKD. You can always follow us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man KD is at KevinDunn01 in the Twitterverse. My man John Reichel back at the ARN compound, twisting and tweaking the dials and DJing the Thursday Soul Train Thursday edition of the show. You can reach him at JS Reichel in the Twitterverse. All right, we'll get to some more Texas football here. Texas Oklahoma State talk. I guarantee you momentarily. My Raj round of the day will be about it, and we'll talk some more to start off the 5 o'clock too. We're gonna get to some Cowboys news, notes, and nuggets here. And I got to tell you, the Cowboys have been really impressive here, but I don't think we actually realize how impressive the Cowboys have been. And one of the reasons they've been, I think, their start has been underrated in terms of how impressive it's been, because they've had a ton of injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the guys that are starters. And guys they drafted projecting them to be starters. One of those guys is Kelvin Joseph. Boss Man Fats, as he is known in the streets. My man BK likes to call him that.
Boss Man Fats.
He's drafted in the second round. Remember, he's been
see if
on
you
the
can back that up.
Yeah, see if you can back that up. You got a name like Boss Man Fats.
Boss Man Fats, and you were overdrafted?
And, that remains to be seen. You're right. It remains to be seen. He hadn't started a
game
yet.
Been 9-year All-Pro, and he still would have gone in the third round.
Yes, sure. They got Trevon Diggs in the second.
They did.
And that turned out to be a hell of a pick, man. You're talking about getting great value there. Matter of fact, they'd be smart now to start thinking about trying to.
He wants to play both ways.
What?
Trevon does.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
You know Jerry's going to let him do it.
And
he's like,
I've been talking to Mike about it.
You know Jerry's going to let him do it. You know, Jerry just likes storylines.
Oh, Jerry would.
And now that he's playing an all-pro level at corner, I mean, remember
Dion? Can do it. They don't need it, though.
Dion did it with the Cowboys, too. Now, he ain't Dion.
Yeah.
Saying. But he did play wide receiver at Bama when they first brought him in. And Nick
Dion
Saban
did it with the Falcons. Yeah. Lined up next to Andre Rison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, that was
Michael Haynes.
I used to love when Dion lined up at wide receiver.
I did, too.
Oh, man, you should get my football loins going. It really did. I got really excited every time. I'm a Dion fan. I had posters of Dion up in my room. I mean, it's all Dion. I thought I was going to be Dion. I mean, honestly, Tim Brewster, he suckered me in. I thought I was going to be number two when I got here because I wanted to be at number two at Texas because it was Dion Sanders' number, not Jerry Gray, even though Jerry Gray, all-time great number two at DBU. I wanted to be number two because of Dion. He was number two at Florida State.
Yep.
And that was, he wore the deuce clean.
Did Montrell Flowers have that when you got here?
Montrell Flowers had Deuce Man.
Everick Rawls.
Sims had Deuce Man. Everick Rawls was Deuce Man at one point. It was upsetting. I never got the Deuce. I got 21. And Bruce was like, you got 21. I gave you Dion's number. His actual number. Nobody knows he wrote number 2. They know him as number 21. All right.
But also you looked at Brewster and said, I thought you told me the Big 12 is the best conference in the league or in the country.
Hey, whoever's paying Brewster, wherever he's working, that's the best conference. That's what he should tweet out. Wherever I'm working, that's the best damn conference in America.
I would love to see him get an AAC job or a Sun Belt job, like a head job.
No, I'm with you.
This is the best conference in the country.
Nah, Brew just had a birthday, actually, this week, too. So happy birthday to my man Tim Brewster. All right. How different Texas football would be without Tim Brewster.
Tim Brewster was
here. You wouldn't get Vince Young. You don't get Chris Sims. You don't get Rod B.
You don't get
Bo Scaife.
You know the Tim Brewster is here, but he actually adds one more thing.
Who's that?
The Tim Brewster with this staff.
Oh,
Jeff Banks.
Jeff Banks is that guy.
He's a recruiting guy. He's also the tight end coach, Brewster, but he's also a special teams coach. He's done a good job with that.
He's a Ric Flair of recruiting in a sense. No, I agree. That's why I always call Tim Brewster. Man, he's a Ric Flair of recruiting. You should just be in his presence, and it's amazing how he would sell you to you.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't need to be sold me, but then after Bruce sold you to you.
But I'm even more sold.
Yeah. You know what, bro? You're damn right. I need to go to Texas.
Usually the mirror does that.
Right.
He just helped out.
And I think Jeff Banks does that, too. So I'll agree with you about that. Great point.
Banks is the Brewster.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so Kelvin Joseph, though, Boss Man Fats, is going to be back for the Cowboys. Well, he's already back. On Wednesday, he actually was designated for return from injured reserve. And also tight end Sean McKeon, also designated for return from injured reserve. So I don't know if
they don't need him.
He's not going to start immediately. Yeah, they don't need him. The tight end.
Schultz and Jarwin.
I don't even know. I didn't put that guy on. practice squad. Right. Maybe. I don't even know what they're gonna. They might end up cutting him actually, because sometimes they don't like to cut. They can't cut guys on IR. Like the rules are changed.
It allows them just to hold on to it.
Yeah, and trust me, Rod B probably would have got cut sooner if I wasn't on IR. Let's be honest. I'm being honest here. But yeah, so I think the rules are different. You guys on IR, you don't want to cut them because you end up like in a lawsuit. It's all kind of weird stuff going on. But anyway, so the. This designates both players to return from IR within 21 days, able to join the roster at any point. So, yeah, now they're off IR, but that doesn't mean they're going to be immediately on the active roster.
Colts are doing that with Sam right now.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Yeah,
because
I saw him on the sideline,
actually. Humley is the second-string quarterback. He was named that.
Okay.
I don't think we hit that.
Okay.
And so now it's like Eason and Sam as that third guy. What do they do?
Who do they make active on that day?
And they're trying to figure that out, but they've got 21 days now.
Okay. Yeah. So the same thing with the Cowboys. And DeMarcus Lawrence, haven't heard anything on his timetable yet, but remember, he's still coming back. And that's their best – well, I say it's their best defensive player, but it was before Michael Parsons.
It was.
Before Michael Parsons came to town.
And
then Neville Gallimore.
And Randy Gregory has been dangerous, too.
He's been great. He had 9 quarterback pressures, I believe, in their last game. He was a monster. Like I said, Neville Gallimore is coming back, too. And he was a projected starter. But Oza Odighizuwa is, you know, tied, I believe, with Micah Parsons with 19 pressures, the most by a rookie defender. So he's having a great year. Neville Gallimore
is going
to
be. That's rookie defender in the league, y'all.
Yeah, we're talking about rookie defenders, period. Yeah, him and Micah Parsons are actually leading rookie defenders in pressures. It's freaky.
That was a hell of a pick. Yeah, so Lawrence, here are the names that should be suiting up in the next few weeks. We'll see how it plays out. DeMarcus Lawrence, Lyle Collins, Bossman Fats, Kelvin Joseph, Michael Gallup, Donovan Wilson, the safety, Neville Gallimore, Tristan Hill, and then Sean McKee.
Forgot about Tristan Hill.
Tristan, no, I'm telling you, man.
The interior dealer.
Back to your original point. I don't think we've given them enough credit considering these are also at spots where we didn't trust the backup. Hell, we didn't trust the starter in the secondary, but at tackle, for any of us any of you Cowboys fans, you know when you watched Terrence Steele last year.
That's a great point.
Terrence Steele has more than held his own.
Yeah, we're talking about development right now.
You know,
their
draft's getting better, and the coaching is they're
better.
Developing these guys.
Yeah, no question
about it. Let's give McCarthy a little bit of love.
No, I will. And I'll give him love for is hiring Dan Quinn.
A
video of Dan Quinn. Oh, I think it was a picture, actually, still shot of Dan Quinn today. He had a helmet on. Defensive coordinator had a helmet on, and he was actually working with the defensive line. And everybody tried to figure out, like, why the hell does he have a helmet on? Like, is he that into it? And the truth is, he said he wanted to make sure the guys knew how to, like, handle cut blocks. Here's John Machota. He says, today was the first practice that Dan Quinn wore a helmet. Cowboys are expecting more cut blocks this week, so Quinn was putting more emphasis on that early in practice.
I like that drill.
Michael Parsons says, that's the type of hands-on coach he is. My man put on a helmet and started diving at our knees.
Wow.
That's right. That's... You know he's going to be sore after that. He's an old man.
You kidding me?
Diving at the knees like that?
What are you doing?
I want to make sure you guys understand exactly what the key to the drill is, all right? They're going to be trying to cut you. And I don't know. I love that. It probably is. It probably doesn't matter.
It probably doesn't.
In the grand scheme of things. But in terms of the culture, I think the culture, that's one of those culture solidifying moves. No doubt.
Muskrat.
Yeah.
They're killing it here an hour and a half in. I like that drill, actually. I didn't like a lot of drills because I wasn't very good at football.
Oh, yeah. That's a great drill.
That was a fun one.
It was.
Punched out, just bench press down.
Get them down. Keep your feet moving.
Yeah.
All right. Make sure to keep that blocker away from your feet. Make sure he doesn't get there. Get around the blocker. Right. Oh yeah. Keep your arms extended. It's great. You're right. That is a great drill.
It is fun drill. So of all the surprises, Jayron Kearse has been a very pleasant surprise. The Achilles brothers, DeMonte, KZ, and Malik Hooker have been doing well.
Yep.
So you kind of wonder, Donovan Wilson, how many snaps does he get? Anthony Brown has been really good. So where does Joseph really fit in there? We've seen Jordan Lewis as kind of the slot guy a lot. Maybe he goes in there. Lyle Collins will come back to right tackle, mm-hmm. but it just adds depth. You got Connor McGovern and now a swing tackle in Terrence Steele.
And
I mean, you can go 7 deep there.
It's crazy because
at least.
I was looking at Pro Football Focus. They have their NFL Week 6 offensive line rankings. And this is basically their rankings week to week. All right, so they upgrade them week to week, and they tell you where the team was last week. The Cowboys right now, they have as the number one offensive line in the NFL, up 3 spots from where they were last week. Best graded is Zach Martin.
Yeah.
Worst graded is Tyler Biadasz, actually.
Okay.
They say.
I still think Biadasz has been okay.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. They just say he's the
worst of the best line
in the NFL. Exactly. They say even without Lyle Collins, Dallas' offensive line has vastly improved, thanks in no small part to Tyron Smith returning to his best play
now that he's finally healthy.
They say he's got 91 overall grade, second best in the NFL among tackles. First time he's been above 90 since 2015. Says Smith and Zach Martin are two of the best offensive linemen at their position in the league right now. And then it goes back to talking about play calling and the running backs playing at a high level and Dak playing at a high level. That helps.
Dak's playing at such a high level.
Exactly. Everyone
is. And I got to give, you know, one of my questions in the offseason has been with Tyron Smith, just how much has he lost with injuries? And could he ever get back to that play?
Yep.
And he has proven so far this year he can. Zach Martin has been fantastic at right guard. I mean, go focus in on Zach Martin on a couple drives.
Yep.
And, God, this guy is doing so much in the run game. I got to give our boy Connor Williams a lot of love. He's gotten better and better.
He has.
They're also pulling him. They're using his athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got those guys that flank Tyler Biadasz and then Tyron Smith at left tackle. And now you bring Lyle Collins back at right tackle at some point here. And this team is just this team's looking good, man.
It is, and I think it helps. Pro Football Focus brought up the play calling, but I think that play calling has mattered in terms of helping the offensive line because they kept defenses on their heels.
Yeah.
They're so unpredictable. You know, they came into the Tampa Bay game and threw it 50-something times. You know, you said that was the only weakness that the Cowboys could exploit, and they decided, you know what, we're going all in on that one damn weakness. And they were right. Well, they didn't win the game, but I think that was the best chance for them to try to win it. And then we see them come back and run for and feature the running backs, right, and run for almost 200 yards with Zeke and Pollard. Both of those guys are on pace to run for 1,000 yards this season. I don't think it'll happen, but they're on pace for that right now. That's how balanced they've been. And you brought up the tight ends, right? The tight ends have now become a threat within the offense. But so they're so balanced that they keep defenses guessing. And if you can keep defenses guessing, that means you're not predictable. And the only really the thing that really hurts offenses is when they become predictable, then defense can tee off on them.
Yep.
Right? I know you got to run. I know you're running it, or I know you're passing it. Then I can put together my pressure packages. You can't really do that against the Cowboys. You can do it. You can put together your pressure packages, but you don't really know what they're going to do from down to down, how they're going to attack you, because they got so many ways to do it.
Right, and that they showed that to start the season off against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love the fact that they went all in. I mean, they ditched the running game on Wednesday. It's not even like they tried a series or two. I hate when people will try that, and then later on they find out the coordinator
didn't
realize it. Well, we knew that it wasn't going to work, but we thought we'd get – why?
Well, you waste a series then.
Right.
You would waste a possession.
Wasted two series, you end up losing by three.
Yep.
And they went out right away and could very easily be undefeated. They'll be on the road. That'll be a 3:25 start on CBS on Sunday. They're taking on the Patriots, who are 2-3. It's like that ghost of Belichick in my head, because I'm looking at the 3.5-point line. And everything, you nailed Dallas last week with a much bigger line and said, take Dallas, trust me, buy me a Christmas present. All you got to do is take Dallas. And you should lay that with Dallas at 3.5, but it's kind of that aura and that ghost of the Patriots. We'll see if Dallas can get through that. On the field, talent-wise, they should.
Yeah, and going up against, you know, Mac Jones, and you brought – Mac Jones doesn't throw the ball vertically.
No.
He's like major
in 99.
Yeah, he's got – exactly.
Waiting for Hodges Mitchell.
Right, he got check down Charlie in him.
Is he running a flat route or is it an angle route?
Yeah, so I think the Cowboys are going to tee off on him potentially if he can't threaten that defense deep with the vertical pass. So I think that they're going to cover that number. Now, I'm going to say easily. I hate to disrespect Belichick and the Patriots like that in Foxborough. Say they're going to easily cover that number, but I'd bet that right now at my bookie. I'd bet it right now.
Okay. Get to my bookie and bet that. Rod's trying to make you some money. I got someone who can save you some money, and that is Apple Leasing. Get to appleleasing.com. They've got a whole fleet of cars, new, used. They've got the best connections in the state. They've been doing this forever, so they can get you the best deal, the best lease that you're looking for. You can lease to buy if you want to do that, or you can just lease and say, hey, you deal with all that other stuff and drive it off the lot brand new, and you pay for that. Devaluing that you get whenever you drive the new car off the lot. So new, used, whatever you want, lease with Apple. Customize your lease, too. They've got reps online at appleleasing.com. So if you have a customized lease, they can help you out with that. Or if you just want to take a free quote, you can do that as well. Tell them what you want, any make, any model, or give them a price range, and then maybe edit that list from there. You can really shorten the whole process up. You can test drive stuff if you want. They've got rates as low as 2.9%. lots of different financing programs, and just really friendly people. It's Apple Leasing, 512-346-9977, 512-346-9977, or appleleasing.com. All right, what's the Tyrod Taylor news here?
I guess, I imagine it's good news for the Texans or Texans fans.
Or is it? No, it's good news for the fans, but for the Texans.
It's good. Yeah, it's true. But some good news and some bad news, I guess, for Texans fans. The bad news is that Laremy Tunsil has to have surgery.
Okay.
So your starting left tackle is going to end up missing 4 weeks. But because the Texans are trying to tank, bad news actually ends up being good news somehow because – yeah, I mean, that's going to severely debilitate your ability to protect your quarterback, whoever that's going to be. So when your left tackle is out.
So one time the team doctor or team trainer has to go and tell the GM or whoever, yeah, our best tackle's out for the year.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
guys,
that's too bad.
Crack open some champagne.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Make sure the surgery's all year.
He's got a thumb injury, and they hope to have him back in 4 weeks.
So I saw that. Now, a thumb injury, if this was a team that was contending, that's one of those with an offensive lineman, you put a club on it,
right?
They
put a cast on it, and they keep it moving.
We've seen guys with broken hands.
All the time, yeah. Right now, there's no point in that. And you're right. I agree with the move. I mean, you're not playing for anything. So,
no.
Don't
well, actually,
that.
You are. You're playing to lose.
Well, you're playing to lose. Yeah, and Titus Howard, who they've moved to guard. Remember, he was their starting right tackle. They drafted in the first round, moved him to guard. He is –
has he been okay?
He's going to be – he's been okay, but they moved him to guard, though. Just okay. I mean, that's the new experimentation, moving him to guard. And there's some belief that some people say, hey, man, what about moving him to left tackle, since now you're going to be – missing your starting left tackle, and they said they're not going to do that. They're still going to keep him at the guard position, at left guard, I believe he's working right now. The other news is, I guess this is good news or bad news, depending on which way you're looking at it. Tyrod Taylor, when he is healthy, and some people believe in the next couple of weeks he's going to be healthy, he will be the starting quarterback. Davis Mills, who had a historically great performance versus the Patriots, basically is it's the greatest rookie performance by a quarterback ever against a Belichick coach Patriots team. He's not going to start when Tyrod Taylor's ready to go. He's recovering still from that injury, but he will start. So Davis Mills will start probably one more game, and then Tyrod Taylor will take over the starting duties.
All right. Now, if Davis Mills keeps on playing the way he did last week and not the week before, at that point, when do you say, let's just figure out if this is a quarterback we can keep or not, right?
But you're trying to lose.
I know.
He was up 22-9 on the Patriots. You can't afford.
Like I keep reminding all of us on the show of that all the time, and then two seconds later, I'll go, oh yeah, wait a minute. I'm thinking like, I don't know, a normal football fan.
Yeah. So I think the thing is like, yeah, what
you
if
play to win the game?
You're supposed to, but yeah, they were up 22-9 because Davis Mills had an amazing 312.
I do agree with what they're doing, touchdown by the
performance.
Way.
Tanking.
And I agreed with what the Astros were doing, and
it's
took
right
some heat on that. People were like, you agree with that? Yep, I agree with it.
It's the right thing to do for them right now. They couldn't have – nobody could have foreshadowed what they're going through right now with Deshaun Watson.
No.
And nobody saw that coming. So I'm not even really blaming the organization. I mean, maybe you could say they should have did more investigative research on Deshaun Watson, but I never heard any whispers about any of that.
No, at Clemson?
Ever.
No.
Never. There was never a whisper about any of that around draft time. So I don't blame the organization for that. I blame them for Jack Easterby.
Yeah.
I blame them for
giving Bill O'Brien that much power.
Exactly. I don't blame them for the Deshaun Watson thing, though. That's not their fault. And because of that, they got to tank. The reason they got to tank is because of Deshaun Watson. They don't got to tank because of Bill O'Brien situation.
Right.
That's just firing a different coach, hire another guy. They don't got to tank because of the Jack Easterby situation, even though it's a bit of a, you know, a fuster cluck. That's not why they got to tank. They got to tank because they lost a top five quarterback in his prime, who they just signed to a long-term deal. You got to tank.
Got to tank.
You ain't got no
strength. One of the great things about college football, you have some teams that look like they're tanking, but you're never trying to tank.
You're never trying to tank. You're trying to win.
You're always trying to win.
Always trying to win. That's a great point.
All right, we'll get into some college football coming up next. Get you a national perspective on Texas and Oklahoma State. With that line, what should you do? What you should do is stop by Randall's, 3300 Bee Caves Road here in Westlake. We're registering people for Texas and Oklahoma State tickets. We got koozies. We've got bobbleheads, including Joey Gallo, Elvis Andrus. So, speaking of rebuilding, if you're a Rangers fan, remember the glory days. You can stop on by. Come say hi to us. This is RBKD on the Horn.
like that five-star recruit in Kentucky, he's been here and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go one and done time. Let's get back to Texas and Oklahoma State and talk about that game, give you a national perspective and a really good perspective. It's John Price from sportsinformationtraders.com. Give him a call. He can help you out, certainly win you some money, 866-441-2711. John Price is featured in Forbes, Yahoo Finance, and he does national radio each week, so we really appreciate him being here. John would be undefeated, but Texas couldn't hold on to a lead. So I'm not going to penalize John on that one. I think most Texas fans would say, John, you made the right call. John is 4-1 in 5 weeks with us here on the air. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and welcome on John Price from sportsinformationtraders.com. John, how you doing?
Good. You know, it's interesting because watching the trajectory of that game last week, I didn't think there was even a chance that I was going to lose that radio play. And even right. even when Oklahoma came back, tied it, and drove down the field, knowing that I had 4 points in my back pocket, I thought, well, worst case scenario, they lay up for the field goal, win it, and we cover by one. And then, of course, we saw the run all the way into the end zone, which is generally not something that you teach football players to do, is to go down at the one. You know, because you don't want to give the opponent an opportunity. But nonetheless, listen, it was a great effort from the Longhorns last week. They showed that they belong in the discussion. And it wasn't one of the 6 plays that we gave out to our listeners last week, but we had a great weekend of plays. And, you know, during Saturday's college football, we got a lot of calls from people in Austin and around North America who were wondering about the 6-play trial, but our plays had already started, so we weren't able to get them on it. And I told my team that for a second consecutive week, we'll do it again and give the people who were a little late to the party an opportunity. So again, we're offering a 6-play trial package. It's for this weekend. It's only $129. It's 3 college plays, 3 NFL plays. You must be a brand new client. So if you did get in last week and win with us, well, you're not qualified to win this again. This is no obligations beyond this weekend. It's $129, no qualifying involved. You can go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. Again, it's sportsinformationtraders.com. You'll see on the homepage, you can buy it right there, $129. My analyst will manage you through the weekend, let you know what to play on the games based on your bankroll, and you'll be winning with us.
Yeah, it's 3 college games, 3 pro games. You've had a fantastic year, and there's a reason why you're in Forbes, Yahoo Finance, and doing radio, national radio all over the place. You obviously have a great team. You have a system. What do you do for people that are kind of new to this? And we've got some listeners, obviously, here in the Austin area that have given you a call and are new to it. We see the Scott Van Pelt bad beat segment, which can be kind of fun. How do you, as someone who's a professional doing this, how do you bounce back with bad beats? What's the best way if you make the right call like that and you end up losing?
Well, here's the way you have to look at it, and I know that it doesn't feel much better when you lose on a bad beat, which, by the way, the radio play last week would be considered a bad beat considering
no doubt
how much Texas was manhandling Oklahoma in that football game. But a true, true bad beat, what you really have to say to yourself is that to suffer a bad beat means that you were in position to win that wager. And half the battle of being accurate with identifying value and seeing it through as wins is being in position to win every single night. And if we are in position to suffer bad beats every single night, those bad beats are only going to happen once or twice out of 10 games. So what do I say? I say, well, it hurt to lose, but we were in position to win. And if I had 10 games that put me in that position, we're going to win 7 or 8 of them, and we're doing our jobs anyway. Bad beats hurt when it's one game and then you're not playing anymore. But when right. you're playing for months or for weeks in our investment, one bad beat is one tough day, and the rest of it can more than compensate for it. This week we've got 6 plays. I love these plays. 3 college, 3 NFL. It's only $129. You must be a brand new client. You must have a place to wager. Go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. You'll see a buy now button right there. You can buy it. One of my analysts will reach out to you, find out how much you play on games, and manage you through the weekend. There's no qualifying. So if you're living in the Austin area and you bet $1,000 a game, you call up. Nobody's going to charge you more. We want you on these games. We want to show you with these games and with the management why we're in Forbes magazine. So don't make the mistake of calling on Saturday when the games have already started. Call now, 866-441-2711, or go to sportsinformationtraders.com.
Yeah, with that bad beat, I'm still saying you're 5-0 here on this station, even though it is 4-1. Because you made a good point. I mean, Oklahoma, even with the great comeback, usually you're going to kick that field goal, or even when the running back took off, you're thinking, okay, maybe he's going to go down and just set up the field goal. So sometimes that'll happen, but get those six plays and keep on playing a lot. And as John said, you're going to have enough with numbers there. Let's get into that game this week because, you know, we're kind of questioning how Texas will bounce back. They're a 5.5-point favorite against Oklahoma State here in Austin. Oklahoma State, I've watched a lot of them, John. Watched that Boise State game. I guess you could say complimentary football, but it's really about defense and special teams. They got a good run game. Where do you see this one? Do you think Texas bounces back enough to cover 5.5?
Well, the line is now down to 4.5. It opened at 5.5. It's at 4.5 right now. So Oklahoma State is getting the slight edge in public money right now. You know, but I look at last week, and I still can't believe that Texas didn't win that football game, considering how well they played. And at the start of the year, when Card was the guy they were going to go to, they go to Thompson, and Thompson just looks like he belongs there. That offense looked so good last week. The downside, though, is that the defense just could not get off the field. Oklahoma scored points on 6 of its final 7 possessions last week. So they couldn't get off the field, and that was a huge problem. They have to be stronger later in this football game. As for Oklahoma State, they're coming off a bye week. They've had impressive wins this year against K-State and Baylor. But both of those wins came at home. This week, they're on the road. And I think they're going to be looking for more of a low-scoring battle. They cannot run with Texas. They've got to slow down the pace. In terms of wagering, I don't see a lot of value here in terms of line play, but in the interest of leaning one way or another, I do think Texas is going to race out, take a lead, and hang on and cover. So I'm going to take Texas -4.5 over Oklahoma State. I know you'll be watching that game. They're a great team this year, and they really – deserved to win that game last week, and they're still going to be a great team and probably head to a great bowl game. But it doesn't necessarily mean that what Texas does translates into money for you. I want to show you this week with the 6 plays that we have what we're all about. So you can go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. You can purchase our 6-play trial package. It's only $129. That price is for every single person that has a place to wager and that has never been a client of ours before. Let us show you between Saturday and Sunday what our games do, how well they perform, and how our analysts can show you the right way to bet. Because you can take these 6 games, and you can bet them wrong. You can overbet, or you can underbet. So you need that management. You will be a client of ours for the 48 hours it runs this weekend. No future obligations. Go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. Click on the button, buy the 6-play trial package for $129, and we shall all win together.
Yeah. John, I think that's key. I've been on a little bit of a heater here with, like, just locks, and what I've learned from y'all and from people that really know what they're talking about is when I knew that Michigan State was going to beat Miami and I knew that Iowa was going to beat Iowa State, I shouldn't have bet 4 or 5 games. I should have, but I should have actually weighted it differently and having the weight on the ones that you really know. You guys do a good job of saying, no, this is a 5 out of 5 or maybe a 3 out of 5, which I think young bettors like myself, that's just kind of a lesson you have to learn.
Well, I think that, you know, you also need to assess your bankroll. I mean, some people, a lot of people out there have wagering accounts and they have balances in there. They have 3,000 in there. They have 5,000 in there, 10,000, they have 1,800, they have 1,000. And you have to know how to manage that. I mean, you have to look at that account as something that you want to sustain, that you want to build. that you want to grow. And when we go on the radio and talk about making our clients 3 to 5 times their investment, how do you think it works? If you have an account that has $3,000 in it, your first wagers are probably somewhere around $200-$300. But as you're winning and that account grows, your wagers grow. So what you're betting in September, you're betting 4 times that much money in October and then eventually November. So with a high winning frequency and somebody in your ear to say, okay, risk 400 on this game, having that person in your corner, being on games that win 60-70% of the time, you're going to increase that bankroll and that wagering account, and you're going to make a profit. And that's why we're in Forbes magazine. Some people make tens of thousands. Some people come on board and make a couple thousand. But the point is, an investment that works is an investment that you need to be a part of. Let our 6 plays this weekend, it's only $129. Let them speak for who we are and what we do as a company. Go to sportsinformationtraders.com. If you're a new client, let's get on board.
Sounds good. 866-441-2711. That's 866-441-2711. Or as John said, sportsinformationtraders.com. That's a good 6-play trial for new customers. $129 for all 6 plays. You can certainly make that up and a lot more. John, we appreciate it. We hope you are right again. I'm still saying you're 5-0. We're going to make you 6-0 if Texas can extend that with the 4.5. We appreciate it, John.
You got it. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thanks, John.
John Price. That is a bad beat.
He does a good job, though, of kind of giving you real good insight about, like, gambling.
He does.
And not just, you know, the, oh, man, you should bet this game or bet that game. How he talks about how, you know, you weight the weighted value of the games.
I mentioned that when I was going back and forth with him. I said, hey, can I actually just ask about how all this works? Because me and my co-host do not have that.
No, I love it.
I said we're not degenerates. I shouldn't have. Talk about an email. I shouldn't have emailed that. What am I doing here?
I think you're safe there.
I think I'm safe.
You're talking about yourself. That's self-deprecating.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Hey, quickly here tonight, because this is obviously one and done, and every Thursday we're going to talk with John Price. Dodgers-Giants tonight, Game 5. Man, this should be a 7-game set. It should be the National League Championship Series. They're going to fix that. They're going to get to record at some point. The Dodgers shouldn't have played in a wild card game, but we finally got our matchup, and it has been fantastic. Corey Knebel, the Longhorn, is going to start tonight.
Ooh.
Probably not going to go too long.
Nice.
I would have loved – I'm not sure if Brandon Belt, he's been injured, if he's going to be in this game or not, but you've got 2 Longhorns to watch.
That's pretty cool.
Rod, we just have not seen this very often where you've got 2 teams that have been that good. So until 1969, there were no division or championship series. In the 53 years since, there have been just 8 times of 100-win teams squaring off in the playoffs before the World Series. So that's why a lot of baseball people, and it's stupid because don't count out the Astros one or the Red Sox, whoever gets through that, and you can't count out the Braves who are going to be in that National League Championship Series. But the first time there were 100-win teams before the World Series was in 71 in the ALCS. Orioles were 101-57, and they swept the A's who were 101-60, I think right before that run. With Holtzman, Vida Blue, and Catfish with those really good A's teams. So we don't get this a lot. There's a reason that these teams were going back and forth. The other crazy thing about this, Rod, is I kept on thinking the Dodgers were going to overtake the Giants. You know, there wasn't that much of a separation. Mm-hmm. It's not like the Dodgers had to come back from 13 games, but the Giants just kept on holding on. They always had an answer for the Dodgers this year. Let's see if they have an answer. Game 5, San Francisco, all on the line. I'm fired up about this tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be must-watch television.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Must-watch television. So there's a little baseball for you. Also, John is saying take Texas and the points at 4.5. Right now, I would lean that way. I do think this is going to be a battle of styles. And stylistically, if you're in college football and you are trying to force or slow the tempo and run 55 plays, you can get away with it.
You
can do it. But the odds are telling us that it's pretty hard to do it.
It's a fragile formula.
It's a that's a great way to put it. Fragile formula. Hey, let's get to off the record. There's a man that I completely understand. I understand why he was doing it. Not saying it was the right thing, but he had to storm an animal shelter to go get his loved one. I'm with you, brother. We'll tell you about it and off the record.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD and welcome to another edition of Off the Record. I thought my man KD would appreciate this story.
You've said it like 3 days in a row.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you'd appreciate this story. You being a pet lover, animal lover, I should say. Not just pets, because you have had a raccoon that during the snow event.
I wonder where she is, Carly. Carl.
At first you named her Carl because you thought it was a boy, and then your mom told you, you probably need to check that raccoon to make sure it's a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
And then you saw it, and you were like, oh, that's probably a mama.
There was no dinghy. And my mom, who really knows raccoons, was like, she's had them. She's like, she's like, she's pregnant.
Mom knew she was pregnant?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm telling you, man. My mom never had them in the house. But
just like looking at it, like, oh, she's pregnant.
Because she
And that's why she
had
was...
pregnant raccoons before.
Okay.
So she knew.
Okay, there you go.
The mom used to leave the raccoons with her on her porch, the babies, and would leave for a little while. And like, and moms don't do that in a while, but she trusted my mom.
Wow, who knew that your mom was the raccoon lover?
Raccoon whisper.
Raccoon whisper.
Raccoon whisper.
That's better. That's better. You know what? Maybe this guy likes raccoons, but he certainly likes cats. And you're a cat lover too.
Yeah, I love cats.
So how about this? A former Australian soldier admitted to basically raiding and infiltrating an animal shelter in full combat gear.
Whoa.
And then, this is unfortunate, threatened a woman with a fake assault rifle.
That's not good.
To try to find his cat. Tony Whitman, 45, pleaded guilty on Monday to charges including false imprisonment for breaking into the lost dog's home outside of Melbourne under the cover of dark and camouflage. He forced a 23-year-old worker to basically tie her hands behind her back and kidnapped her, essentially, and basically said, if you do what I'll say, then I won't hurt you. He made the terrified worker count to 100 as he left the shelter without his cat, but he was looking for his cat. The gun was originally said to be a real firearm, but turns out it was fake. It was like a toy gun.
What are they doing with the Australian surfaces?
I have no idea. The shelter couldn't locate his cat, turns out. Whitman called the shelter earlier that day looking for his cat, very distraught. They didn't find the cat. He didn't believe them. Came looking for the cat in full combat gear.
Didn't believe him.
You don't love your cat that much, do you?
No.
Actually,
well,
you probably do.
I did, yeah.
But you would never do
that. I love my animals. No, I would never do that, but I also was so protective. I mean, they got to 19 and 16. I had them in New York City, had them in Austin, had them at random places. I would let them go outside, but only my...
Did you let them go outside?
Only under my supervision.
Okay.
But then I got to a point where...
some people let their cats out just...
Oh, God, no. God, no.
Some people do. It's so weird.
If they were outside and I didn't know where they were for 5 minutes, I just got that feeling inside.
In my neighborhood, people let their cats out just to...
I know.
I guess they assume they're going to roam back home.
And
they're really smart.
I grew up with tons of animals, so we had indoor-outdoor cats. We had dogs. We had everything. And some of them... Like the females especially, sometimes they just need to get outside. Because the females in the whole feline species are the hunters. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that, like, you see the male lions. The male lions are laying around, and they're supposed to be babysitting, and the women are out doing everything.
They're sperm donors.
Yeah.
The male
that's
lions.
Exactly.
No, they really are.
No,
no,
that's
for the most
exactly
part, they,
it.
They got the big manes,
donors.
But they don't do any
it's
work.
It's a great gig.
It is a great gig.
No, they do nothing,
they do nothing
but that.
And they just got to pry the lady.
And they can sleep because nothing in the wild is going to come up to them.
They don't have any natural predators.
Right. So they can be asleep.
Unless,
they're just, you know, you got things tiptoeing by them.
There's no predators for them.
No, nothing.
They really are. They're just sperm donors. They do a good job.
Ah, it's a great gig. Have you ever lost one of your dogs?
Yes.
I've lost the dog, too.
I lost
the
dog
And we've been
before.
In the car. And I mean, that God, it's such an awful
it
feeling.
It is.
And
I lost one,
you just feel like, you know.
Oh, no.
It's your responsibility.
You feel like a failure.
Yeah, you feel like a failure in life.
Feel like a failure. I did for 4 hours. We lost her, and we had some really cool neighbors. She ended up, and it was in the middle of the summer.
Oh, man.
She had, heat. She was close to having heat strokes.
Yeah.
Really bad. But turns out she was okay. We had really cool neighbors. We put out a next door app. We put out, a post and everything. And then we had some neighbors, really cool neighbors, actually were out looking for her with us.
That's awesome.
Just like, oh, no, we'll go look for you guys.
I've done that. I'd be that guy.
You would be that guy.
I have been that guy.
And we've done that with other neighbors, too. We're like, oh, no, we'll go out and
look for you. I'll help you
out. We'll help you out because we know how it feels. So, yeah, we found her, though. It was great.
Well, I'm one of those people, I see the signs if I'm going through neighborhoods, man. My eyes all of a sudden, like for a lost cat or dog, my eyes are just, I'm like, I want to find this thing for
y'all. Do you know how many times my woman has
take a couple different routes,
stepped on the brakes because there's a random dog or cat walking? I'm like, babe. And she's like, oh, we got to go back and get – we have had like five or six.
Oh, not just because they're out in the road. I thought like she
– No.
Like, she put on her brakes and not hit him, and you were like, babe, what are you doing? I'm like, come on,
there's a dog – no, she will try to go rescue
it. Yeah, she's got that sense.
We've had like five or six dogs in the house, and we've had to go get – see if the chip is in them, and then go try to call the owners, all types of stuff. She's got that type of heart.
What happened to your cat that you had?
Oh, we share a cat now with our neighbor.
Okay.
Yeah, Luna.
Luna.
And
Luna's cool with the dogs?
And Luna's cool with the dogs. She comes over sometimes to hang out and kick it in the yard. And Kaya and Lola love her.
Luna's smart, man.
Yeah, man. So Luna just kind of kicked it. Now she's got two. Now my wife is like, we need to get some cat food. And I'm like, so the cat's going to have food over there. The cat's going to be huge.
Extra loving and extra food.
It's going to be Garfield pretty soon. eating four or five meals a day.
Hey, man, I got 1 to 19 weighing 23 pounds, so.
Okay, that's what Luna's going to be like.
15 years, vets are like, this thing's going to die. It's too big. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to put it on a diet?
Yeah, I guess, I guess you could.
You want me to get it to exercise? I can't tell this thing what to do.
Yeah, well, how do you get a cat to exercise?
You can't.
Wow, I never thought about that.
I mean, you can maybe when they're younger and you can get, like a laser pointer or get some toys and get them flying around. But TJ was too smart. I mean, if I would have,
you can't walk a cat.
No, he's looking at me like, get the hell out of here.
I've seen somebody with a cat on a leash, but they don't walk it. They just have it like out in their yard.
I've seen it too.
You seen that too?
I've seen it too.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
That cat's gonna leave you soon. That cat's not happy. That cat's not.
You got a better chance of dressing it up for Halloween. look at little tiger. All right, that'll do it for the 4 o'clock hour. 2 hours in, 2 hours to go. We get back to Texas, Oklahoma State. What are the keys to the game in this thing? We'll get a little bit more intricate and break it down here on RBKD. This is The Horn. We're at Randall's.